Son, Holy Spirit. I've never quite figured out after all these years that we're at a holiday weekend, just wanting to barbecue hamburgers, and we get a text like this. In response to Peter's revelation of Jesus last week, "You are the Messiah," Jesus, in the text today, delivers hard news about the passion. Death is stalking us. It is necessary, and I must go to Jerusalem to face it. Is that fight or flight? It's neither. This is the heart of the gospel. It refuses to deny all that would take us down. And Jesus moves towards it. Without vengeance, without violence, without any attempt to destroy. This is the gospel. Jesus goes to Jerusalem not to die. How many of us learned that in Sunday school? He goes to Jerusalem to die. No. He's going to Jerusalem to expose the corruption power and greed, the corruption of the truth, the corruption of human hearts. He's going to Jerusalem to stop all the crucifixions by which we take each other down. We're pretty good at that, don't you think? Even on an off day, we're pretty good at taking others down. He goes to Jerusalem to open up the new way of life for hope and healing and transformation. He's going to Jerusalem to make clear that unconditional love, embodied unconditional love, moves through death. The ultimate dead end. He moves towards to show us a way through. And Peter says, "No way! You're not doing that, and we're not going with you." Is elusive. It permeates all of us and all of humanity. And the very heart of evil is always the attempt to dissuade, sabotage. Jesus' efforts and ours to move toward the cross. Because the cross, that crucifixion of Christ, is bringing us healing and transformation, and it is the cross which overcomes evil. We want to go every which other way, right? Circle around. There's got to be a nicer way to do this kind of thing, yes? We want to pretend. We want to find options. We don't want to have to live a merciful path. Partly because we recognize it's costly, but it also makes a difference. It needs to make a difference in us first before it can make a difference in our relations. What does it take to reach us? I know all of us have siblings or children or parents or friends who are struggling right now. They're in darkness. And we want to help them so much. We want to reach out. Perhaps we can even see ways through that would help them. But they resist, reject, whether self-consumed, self-destructive. They just don't want to hear it. I'll keep it to myself. Mind your own business. How do you know what I'm experiencing? And we all say to ourselves on the inside, what does it take to reach you? Perhaps some of us recall living that way ourselves, yes? When loved ones tried to reach out to us. What does it take? Well, I want you to hear a very brief summary of the conversation Jesus and Peter had both last week and in today's text. You just need to hear this. So I'm inviting Jan to join me so you get to hear these. So this is just what we've heard last Sunday today. Today, Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah.
Today, Jesus says, you are an obstacle, a scandal, a stone of stumbling for me.
You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my community.
Today, Peter, you are not on the side of God, but of human beings.
Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven.
What a contrast, huh? What a contrast. Jesus says, get away. Why? Because Peter, you are preventing merciful love from happening, from birthing the changes of healing and transformation that people need. You are getting in the way. It is only the cross that can deliver this. Facing evil at its depths, it shall be overcome. Get away. And then, in a second message, he says, get behind me. Because Peter can still be a disciple. Like all of us. But discipleship always requires the cross. That transforming cross, which is this mystical path of rejection. We don't want to go there. There is no automatic, oh, this makes sense to me. What a great plan. We've got a strategic plan here that if we just put it in motion, it'll be perfectly fine. It's not what we are baffled, we're overcome. This cross, this contradiction, paradox, ambiguity, it appears life-defeating. And yet Jesus says, pick up your cross, follow me. Why? Well, he gives three reasons. Try to save your life, you'll lose it. Lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. In this wonderfully beautiful valley in which we live, how many people don't we know already? Or even great successes, and yet filled with despair and dread. Fear. Grasping after anything to keep themselves alive. The emptiness that pervades so much of our life today. Trying to save our own lives. Dead end. You've seen it. Dead end. Pick up your cross. Why? Well, what does it profit you to gain the entire world and forfeit your life? As bad as it is for the 1%ers, it's so many more beyond that, right? Seized by greed and power, desperately clutching, clasping at your life. And even when you win and become a success, it can still be empty. Pick up your cross. Why? Because the Son of Man, the Baranasha, the new humanity, is coming with all of the angels to review and reward each on their own choices. Inside of us, we all say right now, oh, I knew it. I knew God is out to get us. Right? That judgment day is still coming. No matter how many sermons Jesus gives through Steve, there's still a hidden agenda God's going to get us. I know that's what it sounds like. I agree. But friends, it is the overwhelming centrality of Matthew's gospel to lead us to mercy and the practice of mercy, because that is the only thing which can change and heal us and lead to a new life. That's what Matthew is urging, not spiritual accolades and awards and success stories. Mercy. Because that's where it's at. Living in relationship with others, with the earth, living in community with all of us. Yeah, in small ways and great, this is where life emerges. And that, all of us have tasted. So, Paul's summary today of what a life on the cross looks like, feels like, is lived like. Bless your persecutors. Never curse them. Bless them. Rejoice with others when they rejoice. Be sad with those in sorrow. Give the same consideration to all others alike. Pay no regard to social standing. Meet humble people on their own terms. Don't congratulate yourself on your own wisdom. Never pay back evil with evil. As much as possible, to the utmost of your ability, be at peace with everyone. Never try to get revenge. That's for the retribution. God says, I will pay. If your enemy is hungry, give them something to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. And you'll be heaping hot coals on their heads. Do not be mastered by evil, but master evil with good. What does it take to reach us? Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in